Well, it's a homicidal culture. A homicidal culture is one that no longer considers the killing of an innocent human being to be wrong. Why is it not considered wrong? Because the very meaning of right and wrong, as we've been saying, has been redefined. The fifth commandment of the Decalogue says, "You shall not kill." And it means that the life of an innocent human being may not be destroyed by any human authority. Why not? Because it belongs to God. But how does it belong to God? Because God individually creates each human soul at the moment of conception. But you've got to know there is such a thing as a soul. And where the body dies, the soul lives on. Why is the murder of an innocent human being wrong? Because God wants each person to know, love, and serve Him in this life, and thereby reach eternal life in the world to come. Why may innocent human life not be taken? Because God alone has the right to determine who will be conceived, who will be born, how long each person is to live in this world, how pleasant or painful our life here on earth is to be. It is up to God, not up to us. Once you deny that God alone has the right to determine all these things, inevitably, you sow the seeds of a homicidal mentality. Then individuals will, on their own, decide who shall be conceived, who will be born, how long a person lives, and who is to die. And just for the record, Michigan, throughout the United States, has a reputation for being the testing ground for two things in our country: the testing ground for education and the testing ground for the right to take one's own or another person's life. Michigan is a testing state. And not only that, but individuals will create laws to suit their own desires, then impose these laws on others to obey. We now have laws. We have laws requiring murder. They have told you, the little sisters of the poor that run homes for the aged, subject to the laws of the state. Very sure the little sisters of the poor are to make sure that they do not deprive the aged residents in their homes of, well, the nutrition and the hydration they need. No matter how much it costs, that has nothing to do with it. Final area of reflection. The new paganism is a religion. It is a religion of self-adoration. It is a religion that first created hell. Among the definitions of the church, to be exact, the Fourth Lateran Council, the church defined that God originally created a spirit world without a body, but having a mind and a will, and a change of being a person. But God tested the angelic hosts that He created and told them they were to obey to prove their right to enter heaven. Some among the angels declared, "I will not serve. Oh, I will not serve a God. I will serve myself." And Lucifer, who by now in the language of all believing Christians is the name of the arch enemy of God, who led the fallen spirits. Lucifer, literally, as you know, means the light carrier, extraordinarily intelligent. The new paganism thrives in areas of above average intelligence. It is therefore a religion. It does worship. It worships one's own mind and will. But thank God, He warns those who practice this new paganism already in this life of what is awaiting them in the life to come by creating for them a hell on earth. He don't explain by any natural means the massive lack of peace, anxiety, the 70-some million Americans that manage to have at least some peace of mind by living on prescribed tranquilizers. He don't explain the rise of a madman like Derek Humphrey, the founder of the Hemlock Society, who murdered two of his wives, whose books are bestsellers. I brought with me, I don't think I should read, some passages describing how you can painlessly take your own life. Page after page. These are bestsellers. The only reason this is so sadly the case is because so many of our Americans are very unhappy. There is no happiness in doing your own will. Over the years in teaching eschatology, which is, you know, the four last things, one of my favorite definitions of hell is a place where those who are in hell do their own will for all eternity. The reward, shall we call it, for having done their own will here on earth. We now have a multi-million monthly circulating magazine. What else? Self. We may say, it is not a godless religion, because it believes in a deity. And the deity, I mean it. I've struggled with too many people. I've dealt with too much of the havoc in the church created by self-willed persons who worshiped their own ego. They're talking about converting the new pagans. There was no natural way of converting them. The conversion can only be the work of extraordinary divine grace to be merited by those who believe that God became man to redeem a sinful human race. In other words, if we're going to re-evangelize, or for our present purpose, convert our nation, and specifically convert our nation from this self-idolatry which has become the religion of our nation, we must live utterly, absolutely selfless lives ourselves. Never in my estimation has the world had more need of saints than today. A saint, by the church's own definition, a saint is one who practices heroic virtue. That's a saint. And I would choose especially four virtues that we must practice, and practice heroically. We must practice heroic faith, heroic patience, heroic chastity, and heroic charity. What am I saying? In today's world, and with emphasis our own beloved America, we must have the faith of martyrs. You cannot get away with anything less. I would dare talk this language, lest in some slender, sliver degree, I have experienced this over the years myself. Only heroic bishops, heroic priests, heroic villages, heroic mothers and fathers will survive. All the rest will become further casualties of the mounting pile of new pagans who, to conform to the world in which they live, chipped away, and gave up one after another of what their Christian faith tells them they should believe. Heroic patience. I hesitate saying it, not knowing how I will be understood. What do I mean by heroic patience? I mean the willing endurance of extraordinary suffering. There must be that imperative is revealed. There must be extraordinary suffering patiently endured by those who believe in Christ as the God-man who died on the cross to redeem the world. and we shall be as effective and successful in converting these fellow pagans in the modern world and the merger that we ourselves are willing, and I mean willing, to endure pain. There's no pious cliche. There's not a cheap aphorism. We must want to endure and never, please God, never run away from the cross. Never. Because that's how the new paganism came into existence. And the people, millions, who call themselves Christians, they're pagans. Because paganism is Christianity without the cross. It means we're going to convert these new pagans. We must practice heroic chastity. Years in the priesthood. How many souls God has put into my life? How many, thank God, I've met who have indeed practiced heroic chastity, believing and acting on their faith. The reproductive powers that God gave us are to be used only according to His will. And the pleasure that God has associated with those powers may not, and the word is may not, be enjoyed outside of the sacred precincts of matrimony. Where, who still teaches this? Learned writers, priests, theologians, biblical scholars, may God forgive them the term, defending in long, dreary articles in learned journals the practice of homosexuality. Finally, you're going to convert this pagan world. You must practice heroic charity, which means, not as the world tells us, loving, lovable people. No. Loving those who don't love us. And that's the precise divine logic behind putting such people into our lives. Thank God for the unlovable people. And don't you dare go home if your husband is not here and tell him, Jim, I didn't realize it. My loving you is a means of converting the pagan world in which we're living. There is no easy solution to the problem of massive, deliberate, willful homicide. As I told the people in Santa Clara, what is today? Sunday afternoon? I spoke there Friday evening, 9:00, Santa Clara time, midnight, Detroit time. And I told them, all the pro-life in the world, all the efforts, all the organizations, all the money you spend, all the meetings you hold, useless. Unless we who have the faith realize It is up to us to be so faithful in following the God who became man that after His example, we too will live heroic lives so that they are patient and loving endurance of pain and may win the graces of converting this new pagan world in which God has placed us for this reason, that by our heroism we might bring those who, except for us, would never reach the heaven for which they were made. Thank you for listening. And now, I have 24 minutes left for questions. Are there any questions? Try not to walk in front of the camera, please. Where can we get the daily offering for 1993? The daily offering, as you know, is what the Holy Father decides. It's for each month, a separate intention. As soon as I get my 1993 Jesuit Ordo, I should be getting it soon. It is printed there, a photostatic copy for each one of you. All the intentions of the Holy Father for each month, beginning with December of this year. If we just heard today about obligatory Friday penance, do we need to go to confession? No, you were in blissful ignorance. And you can blame me for enlightening your consciences. In many countries, the bishop simply told the people, Friday abstinence remains intact. That's it. In our country, that's not the rule, sadly. So I tell people, the obligation is there. I tell the people, every Friday, first of all, abstinence from meat, every Catholic should observe. You're not doing it yet. Let this be one of the fruits of these classes. If your husband likes meat on Friday, and you've been told not to serve meat on Friday, blame me. Tell him to call me up. Going to Mass on Friday, some equivalent of what is still the canon law of the Church, Friday abstinence. How can a person show another person that artificial birth control is a sin? And where did the Bible teach this? Well, the classic place, as you know, is the sin of Onan. Remember? He married his deceased brother's wife. And he did not complete the intercourse. And he was killed by God. The classic name in Catholic theology for birth control is Onanism, after Onan. However, as Catholics, we no need to find everything in the Bible. That's why we have revealed tradition. From the first century, Christians did not practice contraception. And how can you show that a person who practices contraception is doing wrong by the tragic consequences of contraception? Contraception is the main reason for two devastating conditions in our country. First, broken families. Whatever women think, men, and they may even encourage their wives or tell their wives to practice contraception. But a man knows instinctively if his wife uses contraceptives, he may talk a different language, but inside he knows he cannot trust her. I have counseled too many men broken families. And secondly, abortion. Every contraceptive society, there are three stages. Contraception is stage one. Every contraceptive society becomes an abortive society. Stage two. Every abortive society destroys itself. I repeat, and it is not a cliche, the days of America are numbered. No way, no society in history has survived the widespread practice of contraception as we're having in our country. If the priest celebrating the holy sacrifice does not believe in transubstantiation, is the Mass valid? It can be. Provided the priest believes, first of all, he must be validly ordained. If he's validly ordained, and at least wants to do what the people who are, say, assisting at Mass expect him to do. It's a valid Mass. The only condition under which it would not be a valid transubstantiation is if he willfully said, I do not want to do that which these simpletons who are attending Mass expect me to do. Am I clear? How does a person show a charismatic Catholic that is not of Catholic origin? Well, give him some reading to do to show there would have been no charismatic in the world except for John Wesley, the founder of Methodism. And among the Methodists, there were those who veered in the so-called holiness direction, the charismatic direction, and the others remained just plain Methodists. And then with the rise of the ecumenical movement, Catholics then, in good faith, associated with Protestant charismatics, and the inevitable happened. How do you convince your own parents and relatives about the importance of confession when they don't believe it is necessary, especially when they say they don't feel it's a humbling experience with many of the parish priests? Well, I think the best way to convince other people is to do it yourself. In other words, that we ourselves go to confession. And over the years, I've gone to confession. Oh, all kinds of circumstances. One priest told me he thought I needed psychological help. Another priest said a prayer, and I said, would you please give me absolution? He did not know the formula of absolution. I think I told you, St. Vincent de Paul, in giving missions his own intentions, would then, after each mission, they'd be given a little card with the formula of absolution. So they could give it to the priest, so he would know what to say to absolve them. Is confession valid if a priest is not in union with the Holy Father? Yes, again, same thing. In other words, the fact that he's hearing the confession, he may not only not believe in the Holy Father, He may not believe in confession. He may not be going to confession himself. When I give retreats to priests, the one thing that I keep hammering in, fathers, go to confession. Nevertheless, the fact that he's hearing your confession means at least he wants to satisfy you. So yes, the absolution is valid. In the responsibility of proof on the accuser or the accused in matters of sacramental rites, embodying the rubrics of Mass, that is, should a priest know whether the council documents or rubrics give permission to do something, or should the accuser have the burden of proof? Well, the priest should know himself. And there's such a thing as providing priest with the necessary information. And the same thing, I'd be happy to provide Xerox certain pages from the church's documentation and make it available. Is it a mortal sin to vote for a president that is pro-abortion? Oh, pardon me. Is it a mortal or venial sin? The question assumes it's a sin. I don't see how a sane person can vote for a president who is professedly pro-abortion. And why might excuse a person from voting for a pro-abortion candidate would be the person's own lack of intelligence. Some people, pardon me, can be very stupid, and they can be marvelous in masking their ignorance. He prayed the Angelus at 12 noon and at 6 p.m. If we awake, should the Angelus also be said at midnight or at 6 a.m.? No. The church tells us, if you say it twice a day, you've satisfied, shall I say, the basic conditions. But no, when you get up, say the Angelus as soon as possible. You don't have to set the alarm for 6 in the morning to say the Angelus. Which canon law are you going to make available to us? The English form made for the United States or the English copy made for the rest of the English-speaking world? Well, either one, except listen to this. Oh, no. Guess, who is the publisher for the English canon law, which is for the Universal Church? Guess. The Protestant Publishing House, Erdmann's, in Michigan. Isn't that something? It's a good translation. Unfortunately, it does not have the Latin. So consequently, the American text I would recommend because it does have the Latin. How should we best correct a priest who is teaching errors? Depends on the priest. First, know what the truth is. Secondly, be kind. And then thirdly, don't just correct him. Tell him you're wrong. But explain how deeply concerned you are and how much you love this priest who needs to be enlightened. Be very kind, very gentle. I told my daughter I will not attend her wedding or ask our friends to her wedding till I see her dress. I make sure it is a modest in front of our Lord and the Blessed Sacrament. Question, should my husband stick by my decision? Oh, these are delightful. Am I being taped too?
Yeah. You should see some of those wedding dresses.
I admire I admire this question. They are getting married in the Catholic Church, but are not really practicing their faith. Well, I would say you might do a little more. First of all, by all means, insist that your daughter wear a modest dress. And also help her in other ways. She needs help. The words Novus Ordo Seculorum on a $1 bill. Is this a homeless fraternal symbol or something else? Well, some say it is a Masonic symbol. I'm not sure it can be proved. Regarding All Saints Day, would it be okay with you if the children who want to dress as saints, yes, well, I would like to say yes. How does a saint dress? You mean dressed up as impersonating different saints? Sure, if you want to. Our family does not celebrate Halloween. Okay. Makes sense to me. You know, Protestantism began on Halloween, October 31st, 1517. Will the new Universal Catechism be only a teacher's guide for him? Will it have another form, or will another form be made, readable for laity use? When will the original one be available? Well, the new catechism is basically a teacher's guide, basically. However, other readable forms are in the process of being made. Are traffic laws to be rigorously followed? Or just the principal ones of driving? Is it a sin to break the speed limit at 5 or 10 miles an hour? Oh, no. Oh, no. However, if you endanger either your life or the life of a person in the car with you or others, well then, not because the state has a law, but because you are endangering somebody's life. Nicene Creed. My pastor is not pray. The Nicene Creed, the Gloria, Holy, 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 Virgin, Mary, words of the Bible must not be believed. Not exactly a fairy tale. Well, pray for the priest. And this, in many ways, as you know, is the seat of the problem. Because not a few in the clerical state had been affected, I would even add infected, what would be called the new paganism. Remember the new catechism be coming out, but it's already out. But a vernacular should be available, Holy Father hopes, by Christmas, at least in the major vernacular languages. Will the new edition be available to the laity? Or would it be sent to publishers first? Well, very happy to get advance orders. Susius Interprint will be available for everybody. To what extent should we continue friendships with people who proudly use birth control? If God wants us to help them be holy, how can we? When should we give up? Well, first, you must seriously try. And then, like St. Paul, with his own beloved Jews, remember? He tried to convert them. Nothing worked. Tried to kill him. As a matter of fact, they finally did kill him. So, well, I would say, to continue friendships with people who openly and, as the questioner asked, proudly practice birth control is risky for those who themselves believe that contraception is a sin. What are the bishops of the United States saying that is going in the teaching of the Pope? Well, what a question. One way of knowing what at least is being allowed by bishops is to read the diocesan papers. They are most revealing of the level of orthodoxy in that diocese. How do you define when medicine is being used for good reasons or not, such as lithium for manic depression? Well, if it does indeed help the person to, well, tranquilize the emotions, I would say it. Not only may, but even should be used. The greater you saw me personally, I could say more. What happens to limbo and purgatory after the final judgment? Purgatory goes, limbo remains. Can a person ever be certain that he's in the state of grace? Oh, yes. What we call morally certain. Meaning what? If I'm sincerely trying to do God's will, I can believe, we call it moral certitude, that I am in his friendship. What is your opinion of Mother Angelica's EWTN and the priesthood advisor? Father Ken Roberts said that he would thank God for Metagorgi. He was proved false because it has made him a better priest and has converted many who have taken to Metagorgi for what it is. Well, I know Father Ken Roberts. I surely know Mother Angelica. As you know, there was a charismatic orientation to at least some of Mother Angelica's programs. And, except for the charismatics, Metagorgi would still be an unspellable name for most people. I would say that Metagorgi, I have serious doubts. Nothing that I know a lot about Metagorgi. Nothing that I know about Metagorgi proves to me that the revelations, the alleged locutions, are authentically supernatural. However, having said that, at Metagorgi, there are priests. There are sermons preached. There are confessions heard. All we need is priests, you name the diocese, to open up confession. Every day, unlimited. And you'd have a stream of people. In other words, Metagorgi, not because of the divine claimed revelations, but because people have come closer to God because they say the rosary, they pray, they go to confession, make their peace with God. Fine. So, what Father Robert says, and we know each other well, we've been on programs together, that if it was proved false, it would still be something good because it made him a better priest. Fine. Please explain a little more what you said about paying taxes. Would it be a sin to lie on the tax return? How could one withhold taxes if Their family is in need. Look, please, don't you dare quote me as recommending the withholding of the paying of taxes. What I did say, and I've been teaching this over the years, is that among the civil laws are tax laws. And tax laws are penal laws. They are not of themselves binding under sin. It would be highly, highly imprudent, injudicious to not pay one's taxes and then have to pay the dire consequences. Although one of my very dear friends, a lawyer, spent a year in prison challenging the United States on the income tax, served his term in prison. He'd been challenging income tax ever since. Do you know who introduced income tax into the Western world? Karl Marx. Karl Marx introduced the income tax into the Western world. Thank you for your questions. Shall we pray? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Amen.